Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of the intersection of shamanic Reiki, spirituality, and wildlife advocacy and activism. I'm your host, Reverend Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to keep you feeling grounded, connected, and real as you unveil your unique gifts to the world and step forward as an inspirational leader and changemaker in service to your circle, your community, and our Earth's wild beings. I'm recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support, and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished, and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. I'm so glad you're joining me for episode 121 of the My Shamanic Life podcast. I am going to take you on a deep dive into my understanding of the air element. But before I do, I just want to remind you that Shamanic Reiki Level 2 Virtual is coming up on three Wednesdays beginning November 3rd. All of the information and a button to register is on my website, and I will put the link to my Shamanic Reiki training page right in the show notes for you. And if you're visiting for the first time, I hope you will sign up for my newsletter. The newsletter comes out just a couple times a month, once shortly before the new moon and shortly before the full moon, and it will announce the upcoming turtle journeys, guided shamanic journeys that are offered for free by conference call, so you don't even have to look presentable on camera. And they happen every new and full moon. All right, let's take a look at the air element. In my meandering spiritual path, I've included and then dropped many deities from all the big pantheons, Greek, Egyptian, Hindu, Norse, Celtic, Mesopotamian, and even Judeo-Christian. After deciding that none resonated as much as the recognition of spirit or divinity inherent in all beings, all of nature, the life force, I gave up and declared myself a non-deist. It sits better with my current druidic spirituality. I'm not bashing anyone's gods or goddesses, and as an interfaith minister, I welcome you to bring your concept of deity to ceremonies and rituals or whatever we're doing together. I love to learn about the stories, the myths, and the philosophies of the deities that are incorporated in many spiritual beliefs and traditions. But for me, nature is it. My worship shows up in service and in connection to the natural world. A remnant of my early days with Wicca, and a concept I have seen repeated in many philosophies and traditions, is the elements: earth, air, fire, and water. The elements are part of nature, both individually and as building blocks for the beings. I found that working with the elements gives me a framework with which to make sense of the world and my own being. The elements show up in astrology. Knowing that my Virgo sun means I have mutable earth helps me understand something about how I tend to behave and emote. I'm not going to talk much about astrology because what I know about it comes more from dabbling over the years than any committed study, and there are many others out there who can explain it better. I'm just drawing your attention there because you may recognize something in yourself. Anyway, in the last episode, I shared a balance ritual for the equinox that brought in balanced and imbalanced aspects of the elements, and I realized I hadn't spoken about them in any detail. So let's do a deep exploration of each over the next 4 episodes. I'm sharing things I've learned over 30 years and through my own contemplation and experience, not from any particular source. You may not resonate with everything I say, or even flat out disagree. And that's totally okay. I hope that you will be inspired to do your own contemplation and exploration. I'm going to focus on 3 main areas in this episode: the way the air element shows up in nature and in your physical being, the mental activity and emotional states that I associate with air, and the way I see air manifesting in human society and how imbalances in our collective air element are affecting the ecology of the planet. So first off, how is air manifesting in the physical realm? I invite you to take a deep breath. The closest relationship that you can have with air is through your breathing, your breath. What is air? Air is a combination of gases trapped in our atmosphere. It is essentially invisible, so you can only experience it by feeling it. One of the ways that we can feel air is when it's moving. Breezes, drafts, the wind, tornadoes, all give us the opportunity to experience air in various states. We can also feel the temperature of the air. This morning was surprisingly cold for the end of September when I'm recording this, even for my North Country home. I'm still feeling cold. You might also experience air that is very warm where you are, or comfortable. You can't see air, but you can see what's suspended in it, like water, smoke, smog. And you can see what the movement of the air blows around, like leaves. You can smell what is suspended in the air, whether you burn incense or use essential oils, if you cook, right? All of those smells are in the air, and you experience them when you breathe them in. Sound is also carried through the air. The vibrations of the air help to create the sound. And as far as the manifestations of nature that seem to be pretty heavy on the air element, well, the birds, of course, they fly through it. They take advantage of the movements of the air in order to be able to flap their wings or glide and take off. Of course, people have figured out how to make airplanes. We do the same thing. Air element is also really prevalent in all of the flying insects. I think of dragonflies and butterflies, all being very representative of the air element for me. And our little flying mammal, the bat. Or if you're fortunate enough to live where there are flying foxes, they're not so small. But they too have wings and can take flight, and I associate them with the air element, especially with their sonar, their sound waves that they use to echolocate their insect prey. So that's a little bit about how the air element is manifesting, showing up in the natural world, in our own bodies as the breath that we're breathing in. And we are always interacting with air through the breath, through our smell, our hearing, and through our skin in experiencing movement and temperature. So now I'd like to move on to some of the mental and emotional aspects of air. So we're going to look at the air element a little more philosophically, a little more from the occult perspective. And if you have a thought about that, then you are experiencing the air element in your mental state. Air is thought. Air is communication. Of course, our voices are created with air moving through our vocal cords. Air is inspiration and vision and big picture thinking. Air is masculine, logical, focused on reason. It is intellectual, scholarly. Air brings clarity and space for thoughts and contemplation. Air generates ideas. Air is the early stage of manifestation, the element of new beginnings. Thoughts, like the wind, can be calm, easy, slow, still, or they can be whipped around, chaotic, like the wind, like fall leaves when they're stirred up. And you can't grab one, and you can't watch one. They're just all over the place, out of your grasp, out of your control. Now, sometimes thought is heavy and dense. You're too in your head. You're overanalyzing. You're over-intellectualizing. And you simply can't get off the ground. I associate the air element with freedom and flight. And the ability to really look down and get a global vision of things. But we can get stuck. We can let our air element be heavy and constricted, trapped. So I want to get into the third aspect, and that's the imbalances. And they manifest not only in ourselves as individuals, but as a society or parts of a society, and can create a lot of tension, these imbalances. So the imbalances that I see are often around science, scientific thought, reasoning. When it gets too much into the head, without emotion, without spirit, or conversely, a complete rejection of scientific thought, being governed by beliefs that you accept without thought, very rigid beliefs that don't ever move, the air is just still, resisting any change. And it's that heart versus head thing. And yes, we want to make sure that we are being logical and reasonable and really thinking things through before we make some big changes, knowing what consequences are possible. But we also have to balance that with how we feel about things, not rejecting emotions, and how we relate on the spiritual level. And by that, I don't mean religious. I mean, how do you relate to the idea that you have a higher self or a spirit that knows the world in a more magical way, that is willing to accept that there might be things that you cannot reason out, that you cannot understand? Now, air brings ideas, and the rejecting of new ideas can really hold us back when progress needs to be made for the betterment of the planet, not just for us, but for all of the beings. And when I say all of the beings, I include the trees, the plants. And how are these imbalances showing up in our world? There's air pollution. What is that? There's chemicals in the air. There's particulates. There's carbon monoxide. There's ozone. There's our carbon dioxide imbalance that's showing up now. The World Health Organization says that there are approximately 7 million premature deaths due to our air element imbalances due to pollution annually. This pollution causes asthma and other respiratory diseases. It can cause heart disease. It can cause lung cancer. The greenhouse gases that are building up in our atmosphere are responsible for global warming, climate change. When I was a teenager, there was a big hole in the ozone layer. And this was a cause for concern because we were losing the protection of that layer from the solar rays. And I always imagined some of our air leaking out through that hole. And I don't know for sure if that happened or not. But what I did know is that science was saying that aerosols, like our hairspray, were a big contributor to that hole in the ozone. And thankfully, we heated that and switched to those, you know, pump sprays. And let me tell you, in the time of big hair, losing that hairspray and that aerosol that could put that very fine mist over your hair was a big deal, but we did it. Because it was something worth saving. And we helped to correct an imbalance a little bit. We still have many, many imbalances in the air element that need correcting, that need the science, the logic, the reasoning, in balance with our hearts, our spirits and emotions, so that it's worth saving. If we look at the bird beings, the winged ones, the insects, there are again imbalances playing out. Insects are collapsing. Our insect population is down something like 50%. We've lost half of them. And the birds. Birds are threatened with extinction. Right now, there are more than 1,400 species that are threatened with extinction. Some of the endangered species are ones that you know, and some you might not realize. The snowy owl, the California condor, the African gray parrot, the kiwi, a bunch of flycatchers, larks, blackbirds, and finches. 17 hummingbird species, the northern royal albatross, some petrels, the whooping crane, the piping plover, the sage grouse, and the Florida scrub jay are just some of those species. When you're working with the air element, there is an invitation or almost a requirement, I think, to make an offering of your service, your money, your time, your attention, that helps to bring some of those imbalances back into balance. So maybe you're pushing for legislation that is going to promote programs that mitigate the effects of climate change. Maybe you are lobbying for protections for the air that will limit the amount of pollution that businesses can put out. Maybe you are doing things that support sustainable land use with the understanding that all of this land where we build factories and houses and schools and stores, it's not all ours. That there are many, many, many species who share this land with us. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take into account all of those other species when we made decisions what to put where? And maybe make the decision to not put anything there. And of course, cleaner energy is going to help. Right? So the reduction in fossil fuels, choosing renewable sources of energy where they make sense. And I am the first one to acknowledge that those big wind turbines are really bad for the birds, but they can do them better. They're working on it. They're coming up with ways to protect the birds from those big blades. So don't give up on renewables just because those that rely on the movement of air are also really dangerous to our wonderful air beings. So this was just a little bit for you to think about the air element, for you to contemplate it, for you to work with it, for you to bring it into your celebrations, your rituals, your ceremonies, your daily practice in some way to stay connected to it. And then also, how are you going to connect the air element into your work in the world for the earth, for her wild beings? And I thank you. And honoring the divine light that is in all beings. Namaste.